This morning, I just want to simply title this, A Consecrated Life. A Consecrated Life. I want to go to two passages of Scripture. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and then Joshua chapter 1. We're going to read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, and the very beginning of verse 2. And then we're going to go right back to Joshua chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1 says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves." For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Now go with me to Joshua chapter 1. I want to begin by saying that I believe with all my heart that most of the American society is given over to absolute vanity. Given over to absolute foolhardiness. And I say this simply because of what is the most popular television shows on the TV today. Now I am going to talk a little about television, and I know people can say, well, this is such a shallow topic, but I really want you to hear my heart this morning because it is something that is sucking the life out of so many believers and sucking the life out of so many churches. And again, I just want to say that I truly believe that most of the American society is given over to absolute vanity, absolute foolishness, because of what is the most popular TV shows on the television. Brothers and sisters, the most popular television shows in our American culture today is nothing but absolute foolishness. Nothing but absolute vanity. When you look and see what the most popular sitcoms are on television today, and the most popular dramas and the most popular reality shows, and you see what Americans are flocking to in their living room by the millions to feast their minds on and to entertain themselves with, you have to know we are a society of vanity and given to foolishness. There's one show that I'm thinking of in particular right now, a very popular show on television, and it's a show called Cheaters. And some of you may have heard that show, you know that show. Some of you may have even watched that show. But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, it really defines the foolishness that is in the minds and the hearts of Americans. It's one of the most famous TV shows. And what it simply is, it's about a detective service that's hired by people to go and find out if their spouses are cheating on them or not. And they have the television cameras and they follow this person's spouse around, and they get them on videotape, and they bring it to nationwide TV, and Americans are there by the millions watching this, and they're waiting for the big showdown. The big showdown is when the spouse finally confronts their mate. "You've been cheating on me. You've been committing adultery on me." And most of the time, the big showdown is right in the middle of the adultery, the adulterous act. They catch them right in the act. The cameras are there. The spouse confronts. There's usually fights. There's usually arguments. And you know, it is one of the biggest shows on TV today. And it shows you the absolute vanity and foolishness that Americans are caught up with. And so much of this vanity has found a place in the heart of so many Christian people. We've gotten so caught up. So many Christians are a part of this culture. And the evidence of it is the complacency and the uncommitment in the heart of so many people that go to church. Brothers and sisters, I don't have to go to your house and I don't have to spy on you. No one does to know that this kind of culture has gotten into the church, because the evidence is the complacency and the uncommitment that is in the heart of so many believers. So many who sit in church are uncommitted to getting involved in the work of the Lord, getting involved in the work of their church, getting involved in the things that are on God's heart and God's mind. And it's because they have become complacent. And the reason why they've become complacent is because this kind of society and this kind of culture has found its place in their hearts. Now, with this realization of the absolute vanity of our American culture, more than ever, I feel the call in my heart and the longing for a life that is consecrated to the Lord. To be separated from the world and to be wholly given to the Lord. And there is a verse that is so strongly upon my heart, and it's a verse that we're all familiar with, but yet it's a verse that God has really been putting in my heart and putting in my mind, and that's Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, talking about the consecrated life. The Lord says to His people, to His church, in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." And brothers and sisters, to me, this is a consecrated life. This is a life that is wholly consecrated to the Lord. It's a life that's wholly given to the Word of God. It's a life that's wholly given to prayer. It's a life that's wholly given to the will of God and God's purpose and call on someone's life. A consecrated life is a life that finds its purpose, its joy, its fulfillment in the life that is in the Word of God. Brothers and sisters, when we love the Lord and we love the Word of the Lord and we begin to open our Bibles and get into the Word of God, God begins to breathe life in this Word. God begins to quicken this Word. God's Word becomes alive in our heart because God is speaking to us. And brothers and sisters, a consecrated life is a life that finds its joy, that finds its pleasure, that finds its purpose, that finds its fulfillment in the life that is in the Word of God. That is a consecrated life. This is where I want my heart and life to be found. I want to be a man of God's Word. I want to be a man of prayer. I want to be a man that's wholly given to the will of God. I do not want my heart to be given over to this culture and all of its vanity and all of its foolishness, but wholly given to the things that are on God's heart and God's mind. That's what I want. For my own life, that's what I want. In Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, the Lord calls His people to be the exact opposite of the society that surrounds them. In Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, He says you are to meditate upon the Word day and night. In other words, it's to be your very life. It's to be the very thing you find your pleasure, your purpose, your focus, your life in. That's what the Lord is saying. When the society around you is so captivated by the foolishness and the vanity of their carnality and of their own flesh, my people are to be a people that are a bright light burning and shining for me, a people whose life is saturated by the Word of God, by prayer, by the things that are on my heart and my mind. Our focus, our passion, our pursuit, our joy is to be the Lord and the things of the Lord. When our children think of their fathers, they do not think of TV guides and television remotes and sitcoms and foolish reality shows. But Daddy was a man of prayer. Daddy was a man who loved to read the Bible. Daddy was a man that walked and talked with God, and our house was a place where the presence of God abode. Amen. Just hear my heart this morning. The absolute foolishness and vanity of our American culture. And God calls us to be the exact opposite. We're to be a people so given to the Lord and the things of the Lord. Understand, a consecrated life is a focused life. Millions of Americans consume themselves with hours of television and spend so much time of their lives in unreality. We spend hours and hours in these make-believe worlds that scriptwriters have dreamed up. And if we are Christians caught up in this world of unrealism, we lose sight of the reality around us. We lose sight of the world around us, lost without God. We lose sight of the earnestness of God's heart to use our lives to reach and impact people around us. But when you are consecrated to the Lord, wholly given to Him, the most important thing in your life is to stay close to God's heart and be used for Him for His purposes. Not to be ensnared by the vanity of the culture, but to stay focused on His will for your life. And be sensitive to His Spirit and be used in a real world where real people are lost without God. A consecrated life is a focused life. It's not captivated and ensnared by all the unrealism. But it lives in the reality of God. I'm living in a real world with real people who are lost and dying and separated from the Lord. That's the world that I live in. That's reality. Understand, when the enemy sees a life truly consecrated to the Lord, he fights with a viciousness to steal that life of consecration. Beloved, the enemy is relentless in trying to cause you to stumble and steal that consecrated life. If he can just start getting you to look at things that you shouldn't be looking at, if he can get you to start listening to things that you shouldn't be listening to, if he can start getting you to be, start placing your focus and your attention upon the foolishness and the vanity, he can steal your life of consecration. And that's what he wants. Because your power as a believer, your power as a vessel used by God, lies in your life of consecration. It's a consecrated life. It's a life that's wholly given to the Lord. Separate from this world, separated from its vanity and foolishness. That is the life that God anoints and works through. And the enemy will come after your life of consecration with everything he has. Now, I said this one time before, but I want to say it again. Sanctification is what God is doing in you. Consecration is the part that you give to the Lord. It's a vow of holiness. It's a vow of separation. It's a vow of, I will walk in my house with a perfect heart whether anyone sees me or not. And that is the part the enemy's after. He's after that part of consecration because he knows if he can steal your consecration, he will steal your power. He will steal your testimony. He will steal the impact that you are making upon the world. He knows that. I can't help but think about Samson. Samson was a man with a Nazarite vow. Samson was a man who was set apart to the Lord. Brothers and sisters, Samson's strength was not in his hair. His hair was simply a symbol of his consecration to the Lord, of his being set apart to the Lord. And one day Samson's enemies came to Samson's girlfriend, and they said to her, we want you to entice him and find out where his strength lies. We want you to entice him and find out what makes him so powerful, why he always triumphs over us. And brothers and sisters, what I want us to understand today is that is the cry of hell against any believer who's totally set apart to the Lord, who's totally pulling down strongholds and advancing the kingdom of God. He has a cry against every life that has that walk with God where God can use them. How can we bind him? How can we afflict him? How can we take the anointing and power off of their life? And the answer is always still the same. Take, rob, steal their life of consecration. Begin to fill their heart with carnality and flesh and worldliness, and that anointing upon their life won't be there very long. He fights for that consecration with everything that he has. Going back to Joshua, let's ask the question again. Why is the enemy after that life of consecration, that life that has set itself apart to the Lord? A life that has made that choice to be separated, to live a life that's holy and pleasing to God. Brothers and sisters, I know we are robed in the righteousness of Christ, but there is such a thing as a walk of holiness before the Lord. And he's after that life. So why is the enemy after that life of consecration, of setting ourselves apart to the Lord? Because he wants to destroy your spiritual vision. And spiritual vision is everything if you're going to be used by God. Go with me to Joshua chapter 6, verse 1. Joshua 6, verse 1 says, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, you need to underline that next word in your Bible because it speaks volumes. The Lord said unto Joshua, see. Joshua, there's something you have to see in your heart. See, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty man of valor. So the Lord places Joshua before these massive walls, this fortress that's impenetrable by any enemy force, no matter how great they may be. We are talking about a massive wall. And the Lord puts Joshua before this wall and he says, Joshua, you need to see something. You need to see that I have given you this city. I have given you this wall. I have given you the enemy. You need to see that in your heart. In other words, he's telling Joshua, what you need more than anything else right now is supernatural vision. You need to be able to look past the impossibility and past the natural. And you need to see a word that I put in your heart. And you need to stand upon that word until I perform what I've spoken that I'm going to do. That's what he's telling Joshua to do. He's saying, Joshua, there's something that you have to see here. You have to be so strong in spirit and so strong in faith that you can look past the impossible realm and see the word that I put in your heart. Talking about spiritual vision. The Lord is saying to Joshua, you have to have such spiritual vision that when I put a word in your heart, you're strong enough in the spirit to see past the horrendous impossibilities of the natural and stand upon that word that I put upon your heart. Now, this is what I want us to understand. Only a consecrated life can have this kind of spiritual vision. Only a consecrated life can have this kind of focus and this kind of faith to believe God to do this kind of miracle. See, in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, when the Lord told Joshua to be a man that's wholly given to the word, the book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate upon it day and night. What God was doing was preparing Joshua for this moment. What God was doing was preparing Joshua for a day that he was going to need spiritual vision. For a day that his faith was able to look past the impossible, look past the natural, and believe God to do the impossible. See, brothers and sisters, if Joshua would have not had a life consecrated to the Word of God in prayer, he would have not been prepared for this moment. He would have not had the focus that he would have needed. He would not have the faith that he would have needed to stand upon the Word of God if he didn't have that consecrated life. That's why it's so important to guard that place of consecration, because if you're going to be used by God, listen to me. What does this mean to us today? What does this mean in the hour that we live in? Simply this. When God calls a vessel, what God wants to do is a God-sized task. He wants to accomplish something God-sized. He's not interested in accomplishing something man can do in his natural strength, because he gets no glory out of that. So he will always call a consecrated vessel to do the impossible. Something that they could never do in their own strength. And the only way to have that faith and that focus to believe the word that God has put upon your heart is to have that life that's consecrated in the word of God. Wholly given to the word of the Lord. Today there are many believers who make the boast that with God all things are possible. And nothing is too hard for the Lord. But in reality, God cannot use them the way that He desires, because they do not possess the faith and the strength to really believe for the impossible. And the reason why they do not possess this faith and strength is because of their lack of consecration to the Lord and His Word, and they have allowed themselves to be polluted by their culture. Brothers and sisters, that's so real in my heart. Almost every Christian I know will raise their hand and say, yes, with God all things are possible. Nothing's too hard for the Lord. But there are very few God can really work the impossible through, because they really don't have the faith to believe for the impossible. When God speaks something in their heart and says, you need to look past the natural and the impossible, 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 and stand upon my word, there are very few who can really do that because of their lack of consecration to the Lord. You can't walk in Joshua 6 until you walk in Joshua 1. A life that is wholly consecrated to God and His Word and His purposes. Anything else will shrink by the wayside when put before the walls of Jericho. Anything less than whole consecration. That's why the world today sees people who are committed to church. People committed to the ordinance, be baptized, take communion. But they're not seeing God in His might and His power. Because there's no faith. The reason why there's no faith is there's no consecration. Separation. No life really given to God and His Word. Brothers and sisters, I'm not trying to say that to make us feel heavy or guilty. I'm just telling us today, if we are going to make an impact for the Lord, our whole focus, our whole atmosphere has to be God and the things that are on God's heart. Am I saying you can't enjoy TV or video? That's not what I'm saying. It's one thing to sit down and enjoy something. It's another thing to be consumed by your culture. Just have such a hunger in my heart, because I've seen the foolishness. God allowed me to see the foolishness. And there's so many believers who are so blinded because they can't see that they've been consumed by it. But I want to be used by God for my generation, because I only have one shot. When I'm gone, I'm gone. I don't get a chance to come back. Make an impact for God. And I know where my strength and my anointing lies. It lies in my love for the Lord and my separation. I do want to end with something. I don't feel like I need to preach this in the ground. I don't feel like I need to make this long. I think the Lord has made His point. We really need to be given to the Lord if we're going to make an impact. We really need to be consecrated to the Lord. So given to Him. I do want to end with Matthew chapter 5 this morning. Verse 13. It says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Brothers and sisters, salt has many uses, and there are different things we can talk about when we talk about salt. But I think the one thing that we all know is simply this. Salt makes you thirsty. Salt makes a person thirsty. And my question to us this morning is this. Is our life in God making others thirsty for God? Is our life and the walk that we have with God, is it making other people consider the goodness and the mightiness of our God? Our life and our walk. If it's not, then it's probably because our culture has found a place in our hearts. Somewhere, it's because our culture has found a place in our hearts. Only a life that's consecrated can cause others to really stop and ponder and think about God and who He is. So my question is our lives making others thirsty for God? Now, before I end this sermon, there's two things I want to bring out. I feel in my heart I need to bring out. I know there are many godly people whose spouses aren't saved. And they could hear a message like this and they can feel guilty and they can say, but you know what? I can't control what my husband or my wife watches on TV. I can't always control what they bring into the house. They're saved. They're lost. They don't know God. My grown children, I can't always control what they bring into the house. And that's true. And you know what? You shouldn't feel guilty about that. But your part is to live a life of godliness in front of them and to pray. Pray. And secondly, I want to talk to us just briefly here. I just feel from the Lord, those of us here that are at Mount Zion, the consecrated life. Mount Zion School of Ministry is our ministry and our place. You know, we don't have television here. Not that we're better than anybody or we think we're more holy. No, it's just a standard that God has put here. But brothers and sisters, there is a consecration that God looks for in our heart. It's not just separation from worldly things. What God is looking in our heart more than anything else is for gratefulness. Those who are in full-time ministry, what God is looking at in your heart the most for is for gratefulness. Are you grateful to be serving Him? Are you grateful to be in His perfect will? Are you grateful because you know what an honor it is just to wake up each day and be in His perfect will? What makes a servant isn't the work we do or necessarily the environment we put ourselves in. What makes a servant is there is a gratefulness in my heart to serve the Lord. Stand with me this morning.